like to welcome everyone to the Daniel Town Council meeting for October 3rd, 2022. We're in the Wasatch County Services Building Conference B in Beaver City. Tonight we have a quorum. I'd like to excuse the mayor. Mayor Kohler is not with us tonight. I'm Mary Duggan, and I am going to chair the meeting as the mayor pro tem. We also have John Blotter with us, Barry Dixon, and Robin Pearson. So we do have a quorum present. We also have present our planner, our treasurer, Sherry Price, and we have Kim Crittenden, our clerk, who is going to take care of all of our business tonight. So let's go right into the agenda. First item is the public comment for anything that's not on the agenda. Is there anything that anyone would like to speak about? I'd like to ask, we have a couple of guests tonight, and I'd like to ask our guest to go ahead and introduce himself.
Hi guys, my name is Luke Searle. I am a resident of Heber and will be on the Wasatch County Council come January. There's no competition with the new three council members that are there. My seat's the at-large seat, so I want to do my best to represent the entire county, so I just wanted to come to town board meeting. Heard they're lots of fun. Barry told me when we were at that airport advisory meeting. So anyways, thank you for serving. Thanks for Daniel's a great place in the county, and I hope that we can be able to represent your interests well in the county. Thanks.
Luke currently works for Heber City, and which seat will you be taking? The at-large for, who's occupying that right now?
Marilyn Crittenden is currently on that spot. So yeah, I currently work for Heber City and won't be starting that day on the county council.
And
so.
Do you live in Heber City?
Yeah, okay. And I went to high school here, grew up here. It's a great place to be and live. We're just happy to be here. So.
Well, I thank you for serving as well, because it's a big job and we need good people in those positions. We have another guest tonight. I'd like him to introduce himself as well.
I'm Blake Sondrager. I work closely with Ryan Taylor and Amelia. Neither of them could be here tonight, so they asked that I come support how I can.
Appreciate your being here. And are you going to be a regular with us?
I guess we will see. I don't know the answer to that right
okay.
now.
Okay. Well, welcome. And welcome to everyone else, too. Anybody have a comment about anything? Seeing none, I would like to move on to item number two on the agenda. Daniel Resolution 2022-1003A, authorizing the mayor to sign an agreement to engage Bryn Probst, CPA of Gilbert and Stewart, to conduct the agreed-upon procedure for fiscal year 21-22. This is a yearly contract that we do, and so far we've been doing it with the Gilbert and Stewart firm since our inception as a town, and Bryn Probst has been the person that performs this procedure for us. They may indicate that somebody else would do it, but I'd like to read Daniel Resolution.
I just a quick question for you.
Sure.
Are we required to bid this out periodically?
Yes. Well, no, we're not required to, but I was going to speak to this. The reason I asked to do this resolution is that we have a brand new mayor and members of the council, and so I just wanted to reaffirm that we're going to use this firm again this year. Now, the council may want to look at another firm for next year, but I see no reason to change this year. We have a new clerk. I think it would be better to stay with a firm that we're comfortable with and comfortable with us as well. But yes, Robin, I agree. From time to time.
So it's we have never bid this out since the town was
formed. That's correct. We've always been with Gilbert and Stewart. But we did in the original.
We did bid to start with, mm-hmm. Settled on this one.
This is an annual. An annual service they perform.
We're required to do an annual, they call it an audit. Sure. It's agreed upon procedure, and that's for entities that have a budget between $350,000 and $1 million.
Okay.
So it's not as extensive as an audit, but it serves the same function for us. So
let me ask about the
yes.
I know it was bid long ago, but is it a bid on time, or is it a, how do they bid that?
Well.
So many hours, so many?
You have a contract with you here, and so you can read through that. They are proposing to do this service for us at a fee of $4,000, which is, you know, a full audit would be at least double that, and probably even more than that. So I can allow you a little time to take a look at that.
But in approximately 14 or 15 years, we've never gone back out and bid the project.
That's correct.
I don't know that we, that makes it sound like we haven't made sure that we're.
No, I.
But I think we have not maybe got official bids, but I think we have, we talked to others. It seems like we had.
Yeah, we had another that came in and wanted to do it, and he's like, we can't touch that price.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's been some feedback that this is work for the town. I'm not saying we don't want to bid it out, that's fine, but there has been feedback that a fair price has been being offered.
Sherry, would you like to offer any comment on that?
Other than I know Ben, I work with Ben a lot, but I can see no reason why not to check sometimes if you feel like it. He has all the information, depreciation schedules and all that stuff.
I understand that. And I'm not questioning the quality of the work.
You just.
Nor the price.
You just have to need to bid out.
We are securing services, and I believe the procurement code tells us from time to time, and not whether that's every 5 years or a period of time, but we should go back to the drawing board and say, should we not solicit?
Somebody else's.
Somebody else's. Not that this work won't be secured again in the future, but I really believe from time to time, it's just healthy to do that.
I think it's normal.
I certainly don't disagree either, but I didn't think this was a year to be changing over.
If the decision's been made.
Next year would be a better time to do it.
If the decision's been made.
So this is Daniel, resolution DR 2022-1003A, approval date October 3rd, 2022, effective date October 3rd, 2022. Resolution to contract with an independent auditor for an agreed upon procedure for fiscal year 21-22. The purpose is to contract with the independent auditor for financial service to comply with Utah state auditor requirements for agreed upon procedure for fiscal year 21-22. And the resolution reads, whereas the Daniel Town Council resolves to contract with an independent auditor to perform an agreed upon procedure for fiscal year 21-22, the Daniel Town Council, having considered a proposal from the certified public accountant for Gilbert and Stewart, hereby approves and authorizes the mayor to sign and enter into a contract with this firm for the purpose of fulfilling the town's auditing requirements and may contract for any other services as necessary with this firm.
Yeah, will you change that and I'll fix that. Okay. Sorry.
Also on the top of that, mine says 2016, not 2022.
I know, I just changed that.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, I changed that.
Okay.
So I would entertain a motion.
So on this, what audit, do they have a name for the audit that they're giving us?
It's an agreed upon procedure. Reporting on agreed upon procedure.
Yeah, so it seems like we, I don't know that we need to go with someone else, but it seems like this would be an easy thing to send out to a few other CPA firms and see what their prices are.
Absolutely.
I don't know that we need to wait till next year to do that.
Well, this is due by the end of the year.
So, yeah, I'm not saying that we do not do this.
Okay.
But I am also saying, what does it hurt to get quotes or bids from other people right now as well?
Also, along with that, it's in the final paragraph, it says the Daniel Town Council, having considered a proposal, this is the first I've seen the proposal tonight.
You have a copy of it right now.
I do have a copy of it right now.
Okay.
But I have not.
This is the same copy that we've had for years.
I've not seen it. I wasn't on the town council when this was approved last year.
That's true.
I'm not trying to make waves here. but I just would really like to understand, when we secure professional services, what's the standard that we use to decide how those services are purchased in an equitable and fair manner? And if I was a CPA and I lived in Weaver City, I think I would be just a little bit concerned that somehow I was not given the opportunity to bid on these services.
Now, all CPAs can do that. You have to specially license to do this kind of stuff.
Okay, but I'm sure there are more than one.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just not all of them.
But again, maybe this ship has sailed and it's already gone, and we've got a resolution to approve it tonight, but I haven't considered the proposal because this is the first I've seen it. So, anyway. I'm sorry, Mary.
It's okay. I know, I understand your consideration here, and I don't disagree with it, but this was short notice. I gave Kim to ask her to do this for us, and she did provide that. The firm got it right to us. So, would anyone like to make a motion tonight?
Just a minute.
Okay.
I will make a motion on the caveat that we basically explore in the future the opportunity to secure professional services in advance of our seeing the contract for the very first time. But I will make a motion to approve this basically with the caveat that minutes reflect, my motion is that the minutes will reflect that in the future we will seek additional opportunities to explore services. I guess that's my motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Is there any discussion?
I would maybe suggest, well, I would like to see the motion maybe say we try to get bids or quotes or whatever we call them for this act right now, even though we're approving this, accepting this, and we have to do it tonight.
Have to do it tonight. However, this is just a housekeeping thing, and sooner we get it taken care of,
then we'll move
forward. The more time that auditors have to work on it.
How long does something like this take to do, for them to do their work? I mean, is it
can you help
days?
Me with that?
How do we get on their calendar? Like,
it takes quite a while to do. They have to verify bank accounts and verify a lot of things. It does take quite a lot.
So are they doing a lot of the work, or are you doing a lot of the work?
I'm not doing the work.
Okay.
Their firm does the work. I don't do the work. I give them information, but I don't do any work.
Okay.
I know it takes time to put a bid together. I know that's not something, because then they need to go back, a new firm needs to go in and look at the detail of what's been presented in the past. Look at our records and see our accounting procedures, et cetera, et cetera. And then they need to calculate approximately how long it will take them to do something like that. And we may be behind the curve there on that.
Well, that's kind of where I was getting to.
Yes.
October, we're into the last quarter already.
Yeah, and most of them that do this kind of work, they have a lot to do at the end of the year.
That's so, it. Other corporations may have already got their calendar set.
Yeah, and our year end was June 30th.
We may not be able to adequately represent ourselves with other corporate or other bidders. So that's why I made the motion the way I did it.
Yeah, every city, every entity has to have at least that. A lot of them have to have a full-blown audit that's all due at the same time.
So we have a motion and a second. And Mr. Blatter has asked that perhaps we...
I just made the comment.
Okay.
I'm not asking for a change.
So may I call for a vote? Robin, could we start with you, please?
Sure. Pearson, yes. Dixon, yes.
Blatter, no.
And Duggan, yes. Please sign that for me. Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen. Resolution passes, and we will then contract with Gilbert and Stewart for one more year. But I do agree that perhaps this would be a good year to put out a request for proposal for the agreed-upon procedure in the future. We'll see how that works out, okay? All right. Moving on to item number three, another resolution, 2022-1003B, to enter to an interlocal agreement with Wasatch County for snow removal and sign repair for fiscal year 22-23. So that's our current year. Again,
will you please change that 22 at the top on that?
I will, thank you.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. No, see, we can change these. So this again is another housekeeping thing, and sometimes we don't get this done until November, but I'm hoping that we have a good snow year. So.
Yeah. Good. I hope we drain the budget.
The resolution is Daniel Resolution 2022-1003B, October 3rd, 2022, effective October 3rd, 2022. Resolution authorizing the interlocal agreement with Wasatch County for snow removal and sign replacement repair. This is the purpose is snow removal services to be provided to the town of Daniel by Wasatch County for the winter season 2022-23 and sign repair and or replacement as needed within Daniel. Whereas Chapter 13 of Title 11 of the Utah Code permits local governmental units to cooperate with each other for mutual advantage and thereby to provide services in a manner that will accord best with geographic, economic, population, and other factors, including the needs and development of local communities for the overall promotion of the general welfare of the state. And whereas the town desires that the county provide snow plowing services for the public roads located within the municipal boundaries of the town of Daniel and repair or replacement of road signs therein. And whereas the county is able and willing to provide snow plowing services on a season by season basis. And whereas the town and the county desire to establish the terms of their cooperation to provide the aforementioned services, the Daniel Town Council does hereby resolve and approve that an interlocal agreement be entered into between Wasatch County, Town of Daniel, for snow removal services for the winter season 22-23, and sign repair or replacement as necessary, authorizes the mayor to negotiate, sign, and enter into such an agreement. Once signed, such agreement will be attached to this resolution as a permanent record. So again, do you have a copy of this? I don't know.
Yes, we do.
Okay. on the first page, you can see under item number two, the fees that they are going to charge us, $160.30 per hour for snow plowing services, $42.36 per cubic yard of salt, and sign repair and replacement will be charged at $67.79 per hour plus materials. And I believe that those are the numbers that they charged us last year. I don't think they've increased that.
It went up $1 on salt.
Okay. $1 on the salt.
$1.26.
So that's a real bargain for us this year. It was kind of a shock last year because they raised their fees a lot. But
there's not any other option on this.
I'm so glad you recognize that.
So is this a set fee that they charge all the municipalities?
That's what they tell us.
It's the same across the board?
That's what they tell us, yes. And it's apparently established by FEMA rates.
Can't get a Big Brother deal or something.
We kind of do. I wish it was better, but
I have a question. Mm-hmm. In the case that a snow plow was to do property damage or cause or some type of an accident or, God forbid, loss of life or something like that in the process of snow plowing, who stands to bear that cost?
cost. They're plowing our roads. Does Annual Town Insurance cover this snow removal contract, or does the county have some insurance that basically covers them while they're plowing on our roads? Has anybody ever explored that? Because I have talked to a person who incurred some damage from the snow pile. Was quite furious, in fact, and pretty much saw the snow plow do the damage. Maybe, Eric, you know a little bit more about this, or maybe you have some experience, but where's this fine line of coverage and protection?
So the county does have the liability, and they did want to go fix the property damage that was done, and they were instructed by the mayor, absolutely not. If you build a mailbox in the right of way,
yeah, it wasn't
your own problem.
It wasn't a mailbox. I wish it had been that simple.
Yeah.
But there's nothing stated in the agreement, interlocal agreement, as to who has, I mean, are we mentioned as a joint insured with the county in that?
I don't think we are. I just think that we follow under the interlocal agreement clause under the state.
But there's no description of liability here. Zero. Zero.
And like I said, they jumped to take care of that property damage.
In a worst case scenario, snowplow hits somebody head on, there's a catastrophic, visibility was poor, it was foggy, it was whatever, and that snowplow hits somebody head on. I just can't help but believe somebody isn't going to believe that Daniel wouldn't carry some of that responsibility. Unless it's mentioned in a contract.
I don't know. This is the same contract they use with Walsburg.
Yeah, I know, but
I don't know why.
Probably
a good question for the county attorney.
Do you have an opinion?
I do have experience with that. I don't know why. I think you could ask the county for a COI, certificate of liability, and they should be able to issue one as an additional insured on their policy. So that you can see the trace of liability back to them with their vehicle, and I don't think that's anything for them to get a COI and putting you on an additional shirt when they're doing work for you. That's a typical thing that we do as a subcontractor or supplier to jobs every day. I have a person in my office; she spent half her days giving out COIs to places where we're supplying material, delivering things, and it's a one pager. They do it all day long. And it does, Robin, what you're asking to do. It shows the line of responsibility back to the operator of the equipment. And it's just a COI request.
John's point is well taken. We have no other option here, probably, unless we were to secure our own vehicle and do it ourselves, or contract with some third party, private corporation. But in today's world, assuming that you're protected is one of the worst things that can happen when, in reality, and heaven forbid it would ever happen, but worst case scenarios happen every day, and I read through this agreement, and in no way, shape, or form do I believe the town is held irresponsible simply because it's not mentioned in our contract.
Well, I think we could be sued regardless. However, we would be under much more liability if we didn't clear.
Let's just say the truck driver was negligent.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's just say that basically it was clearly the fault of the county. If we're mentioned as an additional insured on their policy, then basically somebody is not going to come back. And right now, I believe we're exposed. Now, I don't want to anger the county. I work with those folks, and I appreciate the service. But it may be just an oversight on our part.
Like was mentioned, the certificate of insurance is a simple thing.
I can't believe no one else has asked.
I would imagine that some of the other towns have already asked and received.
Yeah, I would ask for a COI on their equipment operating in your town.
You're right. No matter what, we may get sued as well. But if we're mentioned as additional insured, I can tell you our liability goes way down.
Yeah.
Just a point of clarification.
Thanks.
So, and I don't know whether we could go and secure that, or even if it could be mentioned in this interlocal agreement between the two parties. Seldom do you have interlocal agreement between the parties when somebody hasn't mentioned the responsibility liability. It's pretty clear in today's real world.
I think that this is the interlocal agreement that they have offered us, and we have
yes,
the option.
Yes, I understand
to
that. I understand that. And it may be that we just have not asked the right question, or we haven't done our own due diligence. But I just really believe that.
From our standpoint, they're a contractor. If you had a contractor come work on your site or in this town, we would require a certificate of insurance. I mean, that's what we'd require. If you hired somebody to come trench your roads and put in new plumbing, that guy's going to bring insurance, liability insurance with him. He's going to name the town on there so they're not held responsible. So I don't know why the county would object to that. They've probably been asked dozens and dozens of times. Whether they'll do it or not, that's something else, but yeah. We ought to at least ask.
Oh, I'm sure they would do it.
I do too. I don't think they'd even hesitate.
No, it's just a matter of
doing. Because it's not a big thing for them.
I'm sure they're insured, so
I'm sure
it's just
insured.
A matter of doing it.
Right. Yeah.
They're the same place we are.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Would you like me to follow up on that?
Well, before we move forward on this, and again, we've got to have it before the snow flies, I'm sure. But maybe we could approve it under the condition that we explore those options, and maybe that's something that you could talk with the.
You could even start by calling and just saying, "I need a copy of the certificate of insurance for this," and just assume that they do it.
It came up in our meeting, and you call Brandon at the road department and say, "Hey, can we get a copy of your certificate of insurance?" Or can
they issue it for each party, and so they'll have to get with their insurance, and then just like you said, it's a one page. Nothing.
There's a box, Kim, on the right-hand side, generally, of that form, and that's where the additional insurance are, and your town should be listed in that box.
Okay.
And maybe they've already done it. Maybe they haven't.
How about if we ask Mayor Kohler to pursue that issue?
And whatever, you're the mayor pro tem, but...
Would that be, I think it would be appropriate for Mayor Kohler to talk to Mr. Clough about that issue.
And
clarify that. He'll be back tomorrow.
So do we need to, does this need to be approved tonight?
Housekeeping.
Well, I can sweep the floor any time, but I mean.
There's really not another option on this one.
No, right now there isn't.
And even buying our own truck, hiring somebody to do it, there's not another option on this.
We can't do that. We did that for the first year or so.
Yeah.
Well.
Couldn't sustain that.
So I agree we need to get the insurance thing, but there's really not another option. So I would move that we accept this or...
And pursue the insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that your official motion?
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? We have a motion and a second. If there's no discussion, I call for a vote, please, starting with Robin.
Dixon, aye.
Yes.
Blotter, yes.
Duggan, yes. So, thank you, gentlemen. All right, so let's move on to item number four, discussion and possible approval for a notice of intent letter to provide water service for CMC Ready Mix. This is a proposed concrete batch plant on the Coleman property located in the industrial zone. And everyone has a copy of the proposed notice of intent to provide culinary water service.
I made two changes from the ones that you received that he emailed. So instead of Daniel Irrigation, it's Wasatch Irrigation.
Okay.
And then there was just a typographical error with a parenthesis.
Okay, so there are no Daniel Irrigation shares.
That's my understanding.
That's correct right now. If you would like to leave it in there, we just need to add Wasatch, because there are Wasatch irrigation shares. But that spreadsheet that I gave you last time I was here has them all in there. And so it might make sense to leave Daniel in there too, it doesn't hurt to leave it in there, because that's just another option, because one of the requirements that you're putting on here is if you need more shares, we'll go get more shares, and that just gives us another option that we don't have to go through another approval, because now it's already listed as an available place to get that.
I think that would be a wise thing to add in.
So I would say, I think I may have misspoke, I think I told you to remove Daniel. You could just leave it as it is, but then you would have to add Wasatch Irrigation on there. So there are four companies that you're approving to accept shares from.
Daniel's not in there now, so we need to have it put back.
I can put it back in. This is just a draft.
So we'll put that.
It was just on the one that I got this afternoon.
Yep.
And then this, the item number two had an extra parentheses on the end that was just an orphan there. I'm not sure how it got there, but just a typo.
So everyone have a chance to read through this?
Can you pick that up?
I just read it, saw the extra parentheses, so I made a comment. And, you know, I feel like I'm talking over your business too much, but if it's helpful for you on your audit thing, if you're getting a full audit for $4,000, you're getting a pretty good deal.
It's not a full audit.
Oh, it's not a full audit.
No, it would be at least double that.
We still are getting a good deal.
But if you, I assume they're giving you a professional services agreement and has a scope of work in it?
Yeah.
You could easily just copy that scope of work and send it to 20 different firms, and they'll give you bids. And just use that same scope of work, and then you have a comparison. But I was surprised when I heard $4,000 in a full audit. I wanted to call, I was looking them up here to call them. I want to see why they got an audit sale going on.
It's a haircut, much shorter.
Okay.
Right, because we don't have such a large budget.
Okay.
So, Mr. Kusick, did you have an opportunity to read through this?
I did, and I don't really, concern's kind of a strong word. My only concern is, I know that the engineers that are, water engineers, that I showed this to this afternoon, they said, well, why is all this conditional use permit stuff in your will serve letter? And I said, that's just how it's coming to me. They were concerned that the water board would look at it and say, well, that's all good stuff, but that belongs in a conditional use permit, not in a will serve letter. They really just need the top paragraph that says, we intend to serve. We can leave it like this. My only caveat is, I don't know if they're going to look at this and say, no, we can't have all this other stuff in it. Now, that belongs in the conditional use permit. And that's what Brian Balls, our engineer, said this afternoon. He says, I've never seen one of so many additional conditions on it.
Right.
This is kind of unusual for me. I'm afraid that it might get kicked back to us by...
By whom? Is he afraid?
Either by the county or by the state. And I don't know. He says, I've never seen one like this.
Yeah. I've seen many, and I think it'll be fine.
Okay, and I just wanted to put that out there, as that's the feedback I got. I don't have any problem with anything that's in it. We just need to fix a couple of typos there and add Wasatch in. But those are exactly what the things we talked about, and that's what we intend to do.
That's perfect. I think you've got to understand this is a new thing for us as well, and I think that's why all those conditions are there. You have a lot of steps that are going to have to...
In most will serve letters, you know, the extension of water lines, other kinds of things are not conditioned. I mean, that the water's there, you just go in and plug into the water system and serve.
Yeah.
But we have infrastructure needs, we have other kinds of things. We have a need to determine the rate of flow. We have other kinds of things that we're concerned about, our system and protection. So it may not be typical for many towns, but for us in our particular set of circumstances, we feel this is pretty good.
And I have no problem with anything that's in there. Now, understand that we're going to have to bother you again, because we haven't yet got to a full determination of that trade that we discussed regarding improvements.
Yes.
Sorry, but you're going to have to see me again on the issue.
No.
But that's okay. But I know that either the mayor or somebody will go with you as this letter, if there is concerns, to explain the logic and rationale. You won't be there alone.
Okay. We do have another step we need to take, and I want to take that as soon as we can, because we need to get over that hump of what we're going to build for you and what you want us to build. We can't go... It needs to be obviously within reason to work for your system and ours, and the cost of that and how we make that exchange between the I guess what we call them, the hookup fees, but there's another term.
Impact fees.
Impact fees, thank you. Impact fees. Last time we went through some numbers on that, I presented some, and I know Ryan wanted to do some study on it. I was using Ryan's numbers for an estimate of the Ryan initial excavation, for an estimate of what it's going to cost. So I think we've made some progress there, but I know Ryan got sick and something happened. But we need to have that discussion with you fairly quickly, because that's an important, that's integral to this. I mean, this, I need to get this going with the state because of their slow timelines with the state water office.
Right.
Or state water engineers all backed up. We still need to get the other issue really quickly, so we know that it works for both of us.
You do understand that any extension of our water line has to be engineer designed.
Yes, yeah.
And approved.
Yeah.
It has to be approved by Division of Drinking Water, all of that. There's a lot involved in, you know, our public water.
Yeah, so that, I think that means this gentleman here from TEO, maybe he's taking over for Ryan because I know he's very sick, but somebody, I guess, needs to maybe nudge them a little bit. We got to get moving on that so we know what we're building for you.
Right. I just want you to understand that you don't just dig the ditch, throw the line in there.
That's right.
And cover it up and you're done.
There's also, there's...
We have had that before.
This will get the clock ticking.
It will start the process, yes.
This will move that.
And that's what we need to do, but I just, you're not done with me, I guess, what I'm saying.
And I'm sorry we didn't get this done earlier, but there were circumstances beyond our control, and so...
Well, we're ready to go with this, and this looks fine to me, and then I will, I guess I just need a little direction on, am I working with Ryan or this gentleman here, or who are we working with to push along what you need us to build?
So I think this is one that Amelia was working on, actually.
Okay.
Blake, could you speak up just a little bit, our recorder, and pick it up?
Yeah. This was something that Amelia was working on, if I understand right. But, I mean, Ryan and Amelia worked together on all this.
Okay. So I guess that means I should probably get back to Amelia in Ryan's absence and say, okay, where are we going with the design parameters? I assume, Eric, that means they're going to get with you and get your input on what it needs to be. I mean, so far, the only thing I've heard is it's probably an 8-inch line, but there's a lot more to it than that. And we need to see that so we can get, you know, bids, we can get on people's schedule, we know what we're building and what we're in for. Assuming it's just an 8-inch line and we need to go to what it looks like the middle south of that property. I know there's some discovery there because Ryan last time thought it was the southwest corner of that parcel. And there, I was with an engineer this afternoon that insists it's the southeast corner of that parcel where there's a cul-de-sac apparently, and there's a right-of-way up a public utility easement all the way up that cul-de-sac to the southeast corner. And that takes off, you know, a couple hundred feet. So we need to get those details hammered out where point A and point B is, and then we need to start working on a design so we know where we're building.
First. All of those are steps that basically would be handled with our impact fees, not as a condition of the will to serve, but
right.
Yes, okay. We've got to do all of that.
And so I mean, Eric, does that mean that you and I are talking about how this gets designed, or am I working with
TEO? Yeah, it's boilerplate. They'll pull it off it's boilerplate running the water line.
Okay, and so what we need, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Blake.
We need Blake to go back to Amelia and say, okay, this is our next step. We need to start communicating about what's going to be built.
First, we do need to take action on the letter.
Right.
Before we go.
Or it'll just say draft on it. So don't
it does say draft, yeah.
Draft if this doesn't line. Pass, nothing else matters.
Yeah. I won't be able to use that at the 7-Eleven.
Eric, did you have anything else you wanted to add here?
No, I think we've bounced this back and forth between TO staff and and Amelia's been the lead on it, so we've been back and forth and on the email, and we think we've covered your motions that you made in the meeting are included in this draft.
Thank you. Council, is there any discussion here?
I move to approve the notice of intent to provide culinary water service letter with the condition that we add Daniel Irrigation into the mix as well. Beat this thing to
second
to death.
Thank you. We've got a motion and a second discussion here.
Is it
Blake?
Did Daniel irrigation or Wasatch irrigation?
So our draft has Wasatch.
And we're adding Daniel in, just in case some Daniel shares come into the mix.
There's Daniel, Extension, Wasatch, and Timpanogos.
Okay, so is there any more discussion? Okay, I would like to call for a vote then. Could we start with you, Robin?
Pearson, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Lauder, yes.
Duggan, yes. Thank you, gentlemen. So we'll get this letter to you, Mr. Cusack. Kim, can you make sure?
I'll take draft off it, and I'll add Daniel irrigation.
So we can probably get this to him tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, who do you want to sign it? Because it has Rand right now.
We'll figure that out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Number five, council reports or updates. Robin, do you have anything?
Just a quick update. Ryan and I, I think I reported last meeting that we refined the numbers for potential improvements to the water system in Stormhaven, Tammy Lane, Crazy Acres. I have since met with the Division of Water Resources, and today met with the Division of Drinking Water and the Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands. And I'll have a follow-up meeting for the mayor's direction with Mountain Land Association of Governments to look at funding sources from them as well. So we're putting a funding package together that will hopefully make sense and moving forward.
Are these just potential funding sources?
These are all potential funding sources, yeah.
Okay, and so then we can take a look at that?
Yep.
Awesome, thanks.
That's all I have today.
Thank you. Barry, do you have anything for us?
I had the distinct privilege of attending the airport meetings, the airport advisory council meeting, and then the following day was the public meeting. It was rather interesting, and no public comment was allowed until after in very small groups. So they didn't want the, I don't know what they didn't want. And they also shortened the comment time down from a month to 14 days. That was the county manager did that.
Right. No, the city manager.
The city manager did that. There was, even given that there was no public comment, there was still some public comment. It was kind of fun. I had a chance to sit with Eric on the back row, and that was kind of entertaining. So,
not sitting with me, the meeting was entertaining.
Yeah, no, that's true. Those kind of things usually are, but it counts right down to they really only have one proposal, and the one proposal assumes that they can acquire, I'll use that word, acquire ground from Daniel residents to make their proposal work. Basically, though, they have no authority to do anything inside of our township or our town. And the FAA has never condemned or use eminent domain to take ground. They always let the sponsoring entity do that, which would be Heber City. And Heber City has no authority in our across our line. So it'll be an interesting discussion there. I mean, their only hope really is that they can go and convince those landowners that they want to sell those pieces of ground. And that's basically it. So it'll be an interesting next little while to see what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Their other option is to move the airport runway the other direction, which impacts all that housing and stuff. So they don't want to do that. It also gets into the intersection. It's all the safety zone that's really doing it. So
I've actually brought these maps with me tonight.
It's a they have like five or six proposals, and there's really only one. You know, they show the others, but they're not being considered. It all comes down to the one where they need some more ground, and it's not to move the runway to it. Mostly it's for the safety zone on the end.
Right.
except for the taxiway that still needs to impact a few people that live on Southfield Road, taking some of their ground. So it'll be an interesting discussion with all of those guys, but it's really up to them. If they want to sell, great. If they don't, I don't see that they can pressure them into it.
Did they give you a timeline? Barry, talk about timeline at all?
They do, but it's usually vague. They talk about next steps. They're into the fifth step right now. I don't know how many steps there were in this thing.
I can add a little bit to this.
Sure.
I didn't attend the meeting that you went to, but I did go to, on the 27th, a huge city council meeting, called a special meeting, because of the uproar that was caused at that airport meeting. And the mayor has scheduled a public hearing for their meeting on the 18th, but they are also holding a public meeting at the, and you have this on your planner report, on the 17th in the evening at the Heber City Public Service Building, you know, where the police station is. And that's going to be another meeting just like the one you went to, where there's not going to be public comment, but the mayor is insisting that there should be a public hearing. This was a very contentious meeting. The Heber City Council does not really want public comment. No. They feel that they have one option. I mean, I'm reading between the lines. But as the Danieltown Council, a member of the Danieltown Council, I would like our group to consider a letter to Heber City insisting that they have a public hearing. They allow public comment, public input about what they're doing. You're right. They say they're not going to use eminent domain. They're going to be looking for willing sellers. And this is in the future, but they anticipate, the mayor of Heber City anticipates they'll be voting on this at their meeting on the 18th after the public hearing.
Voting on what?
On the option that they want to choose.
On the option they want.
Which is, and I've brought these maps with you so that you can see what we're talking about.
There really is one option.
Yeah.
They laid out all the options on boards, and it all comes down to really one. The others,
which will hugely impact the town of Daniel.
It will.
Impact, and that's why I think the public comment period runs through the 7th of October.
Isn't that interesting?
Have we made public comment?
We have not, and I'd like this council to
consider.
Well, just
to write a letter about whether or not they should hold a public hearing, shouldn't we make public comment?
Yes, we should. And I think, well, there's another issue that I'd like to explore, and that is taking a look at the properties that are down on 3000 South and 189, and moving forward to consider a commercial zone there. We should move ahead as though this is not hanging over anyone's head, because it's years in the future, years in the future.
Up to 20, this is their 20-year plan. And they're saying it'll take them probably 8 years to secure any funding.
Any funding, right. So sitting around and twiddling our thumbs, you know, is to me doesn't seem like a prudent thing to do. That's just my feeling on it.
So here on this Danieltown planning report, it has a kind of part of an email address, or is this that's a website, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so that's where you go. This says 1010, you said 107.
Did you hear 10?
I'm
pretty sure it's the 7th.
I would go with the 7th.
I think it is the 7th.
It was a short time.
Okay. I think it is the 7th. And it's before they're going to hold their meeting where you can talk. And so they're going to stop public comment before you go to a meeting and make public comment.
I think that's where I got the 10 from, 10 days before where they're going to vote.
Yeah. So the only place you can make public comment is on that website. Mm-hmm.
Or the public hearing on the 18th.
But that's beyond the period of time that they're accepting public comment.
Exactly.
So it made no sense. And several people brought that up in the meeting and said, this makes no sense.
None of it makes very much sense. And when I show you these maps, you'll see what I'm talking about. But anyway, I would like the council to consider a letter to Heber City expressing our dismay that they're not considering. I mean, they have a vision statement, a mission statement, and all that, and they're going to be good neighbors, and they're not going to, you know, Daniel once again is being pushed aside.
Are you volunteering to draft that letter?
I would want to talk that over with the mayor.
Can I make a comment, first of all?
Of course.
We're under council reports and discussions. This is not on our agenda.
No, I'm not asking.
I understand that. But to draft a letter and to have an official position by this town council.
I'm not asking you to do it tonight.
Okay.
I'm not asking you to do that tonight. I asked you to think about it and consider doing it.
Sure, but by the time, it sounds like by the time our next meeting is, and we've got it on the agenda, it's too late.
The mayor can authorize a letter.
Okay, if the mayor wants to send a letter under his own signature, hallelujah. But I don't think this town council can send a letter without it being on our agenda and being approved, where we have a vote and we have official discussion, not just coming up in a council report. So I'm all over what you're saying, but I'm just saying, out of protocol and procedure, this is not on our agenda. And if we're going to take an official position, it needs to be there.
We can certainly make the motion and approve to write a letter and develop a letter. We don't need to have it on the agenda to say, oh, hey, we came up with this idea to write a letter. That might be a good idea. Let's draft one. We don't need to have that on the agenda.
If it's an official position by the town council, that is, you're asking us all to be...
To approve that letter.
Yeah.
So that has to be on the agenda.
Right.
To make the suggestion, let's write one.
I guess the point I'm trying to make here is if this is an official position on behalf of the town, or if Scott Kohler wants to write a letter basically stating, as the mayor of Daniel, we very much would like to see more public comment on this. He has every right to do that because he's not officially speaking on behalf of the council.
Well, here's how I feel about this. I would not do anything without discussing it with our mayor,
right. Obviously. Right.
But if there is a letter, and if you read the letter and you think you would like to sign it, then I think you should be allowed to sign it.
Any citizen can sign it.
Absolutely.
I'm a citizen, and so anybody can sign that letter, and you can have 100 people sign it.
But to be real honest with you, Heber doesn't care.
I know they don't care.
Exactly. They don't care what we say.
I do think we need to be on the record. I think we need to be on the record that we oppose this, that you are intruding into our town. This is going to be a huge disruption.
You're trying to intrude into our town.
You're going to be a huge disruption and potential danger to our town and its citizens. This expansion of the airport under the safety upgrade delineation is just going to increase the traffic, the size of the traffic. It's going to be increasing the potential for disaster.
Well, there's some discussion on that, whether that's the case or not, whether the chicken or the traffic's there already.
No, it's not. There are many C2 aircraft that are not coming in here right now.
There are over 1,500 operations on that airport per year, and they only had to have 500 to justify expanding the airport.
I agree.
Wow.
So there's 1,500. That
an
makes
operation
it a
is a takeoff or a landing.
Takeoff or landing. So they've got 750 airplanes coming in and leaving in a year.
They're not different airplanes. A lot of them are the same.
They could be the same. It could be the same.
You know, multiple times.
The only thing that it does do is there is one model airplane that won't land on a 75-foot wide runway, and they will land on, they're a C2 aircraft, but they won't land on a...
But they will on a 100-foot.
They will on a 100-foot wide. So you might get some of that.
We'll get a lot of that.
But you won't get, like, the D levels because they just won't land there. Runway's too short. Well, the way that it works, though, is that it's all up to the pilot. If the pilot thinks they can land a 747 on that runway, they can try it. There's nothing to stop them from doing it.
That's correct.
They could screw the whole thing all up and damage it and have to repair it, but there's nothing to stop them from trying.
Agreed.
So, which is kind of a strange
thing. But my point is that we do have C2 aircraft landing here now.
We do, lots of them.
But that airport is safe for those aircraft and has been all these years. They do the expansion.
It's the safety zone, really. They're not lengthening the runway, they're moving it.
I know.
And it's mostly to get the safety zone away from what they've already developed up there on that
corner. Correct. They're protecting themselves and
that's
pushing it
doing.
Off onto Daniel.
That's really what they're doing.
That's what they're doing. So So anyway, that's my, I just wanted to add to, because it is happening. It's happening now, and we, if we're going to have, be on the record at all.
If you want some lively time, bring some popcorn and go to one of those meetings. It's very interesting, and there's some of the same players every time.
Okay, thank you for your report.
Thanks.
John, you have anything?
Yeah, I've been working with the UDOT engineers and the bypass, and we are going to be in trouble on 3000 South. They are not listening. They're not considering any public comment from Charleston, or they don't seem to be. And I don't know what we do as a town on that, but they have been difficult to work with over the last month on that.
This is another issue. We talked at our last meeting about a letter to UDOT, and we haven't done that, but we did discuss it.
Yeah, I think we ought to look at doing that, and sooner than later.
Agreed. I think so, too.
But they really don't have, UDOT doesn't have any other entity on their mind other than Heber City. They don't, they're not looking at the impact of Charleston or to Daniel or to any of the surrounding communities. It's all centered, and it's in their statement, they're all centered on what it does to Heber City and the historic downtown, whatever that is. But it's all centered around what Heber wants.
They're putting three-story buildings on their historic downtown Main Street, and yeah, they're really preserving everything. Luke, I'm glad you're here tonight to hear all of this.
Now, they've told me that this is coming in the next phase, that the analysis of the effect on these other towns, but it's not going to be considered, I think, as heavily as we would like it to be.
Again, I think we need to be on record.
I agree.
You know, we're affecting our population immensely by sloughing this all off on the smaller communities.
Yep.
And Charleston's in there with the airport, too. So,
Can we make a note on that to maybe to do something there, to write a letter as a town, to draft a letter, to do something to let them know of our concerns?
I'm on board with that, but again, I think we need to discuss that with the mayor.
Oh, I'm agreeing. We're not approving a letter. We're not saying we're going to write a letter, but what can we do? What do we want to do? We just talked about it again, and we didn't make any decisions to do anything. So it'll come next month, and we'll be in the same boat.
We have to do it now. If we're going to do anything, we have to
absolutely
start action.
Yeah.
So after this meeting, I'll be talking to the mayor tomorrow, and or Wednesday, and I'll bring these issues to him and see if he will approve us getting together and doing something.
Okay.
Okay.
The public comment period for the official, for letters and all those official comments for the initial phase of the design phase of the project has closed.
Yeah.
We missed that opportunity. But according to them, and they sat right here in this meeting and said there's going, as soon as a certain narrowing of the scope of the project occurs, then they've got to come in and decide how it's going to affect the communities individually. And according to them, that's when they said our comments would be most helpful and most impactful. I don't know whether you tend to agree, but
I'm not UDOT, but I've sat through a lot of their presentation places, sat through the Charleston one. I do know every part of their phase. They accept public comment. They try to clarify of what they specifically want. I mean, what that part says, so.
As part of the official EIS, they're required by law to have so many days of public comment and gather that information and package it. And then they've checked that box. And if we haven't commented during that period of time, then we've missed one of those opportunities. But according to them, then they said, okay, now, if this is the route selected, we now need to define how that's going to impact local communities. And I was in the Charleston meeting as well, and they said the same thing two times.
Yeah.
That basically, at that point in time, we want the community to step up and pound their fist, defend themselves, and put in writing what their position is. And I think we cannot miss that opportunity, absolutely. And it doesn't hurt to write letters right now, but I just don't think they'll ever be included in the official comment, period.
Robin, just one little clarification. You said we didn't have any input into the previous, I know that Ryan did.
Okay.
He did. However, he doesn't think that it was included, but he did.
Was it in that window? I don't know. But if he has, hallelujah, then we should double down and do it again twice as hard.
Did you?
I did, and this is probably, I don't know if this is the place to bring this up. I received an email from UDOT that said it shows that I put public comment in. However, my public comment has been erased. So there's no comment there, but they have my name down that I made comment. But there's no comments attached to my name.
I would protest that. I would.
I just received that email this week.
I think it's things like that that somebody could enter into a class action lawsuit that said, wait a minute, you eliminated my comments. Therefore, you've got to go back to the drawing. How do they do that legally? I don't know.
I don't know.
Should be part of the record.
I made comments, and I never got an email.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what Barry said. They don't care.
They're just marching to their own drum right now.
Yeah, but again.
But you're right. The next phase is how it impacts the community, the environment, the whatever, the impact of the design they've chosen. And so that's our next best chance.
Dust, smoke, anything environmental, and anything local impact, they said they have to address in the next phase. But
okay.
We cannot be asleep on that. We've really, really got to be ready to.
So I'll talk to the mayor soon, first opportunity I have, and see if we can
and
move
even if
forward.
We need to have that on the agenda, an official
right.
letter basically stating Daniel's position, let's get it on there.
Okay.
And then they can't come back and say, well, you just picked out about this.
Okay, make a note of that. Okay, very good. Okay, anybody else? I don't have any reports. So let's go on to engineer's report. Do you have anything for us, Blake?
No, I don't.
That's okay, we get that. Planner?
Yes, you got your plan report in your packet. Is there any questions that you have? You need a copy of that?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. How nice to be included.
The list is getting smaller.
It's shorter, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, as you're going over that with any questions, let me just tell you the things that aren't on there. Barbara Johnson has a barn addition that's been approved. Emily Smith addition on Tammy Lane. That's in the process of being approved. The solar was approved. You remember you guys gave Ion a business license? Well, their check bounced. And meanwhile, they're out working in the town. So Kim's been running that pretty hard on them. Anyway, bring you up to speed on that. William Matthews, there's a bathroom remodel on Tiancum Road. Phil Thacker, a bathroom remodel on 3000 South. And Aubrey Lazenby wants to split her property and sell part of her property. And so we have received applications for that. That's not on your report, just as a side note.
How large is her property that she wants to split?
2.3 acres.
She wants to split it?
Yes.
It's not big enough.
So, get ready.
To sell for a construction project or just to sell to large somebody else's?
I don't know. She just wants to split it off. That's all I know.
Okay.
I'm not sure what for. But we have all of the bells and whistles, alarms going off.
Yeah.
Coming your way.
I think this is appropriate to do under your report, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but last week we had a rather in-depth discussion to talk about business licenses and taxes, whether a business is required to pay sales tax. So we should go through that whole list of people that we have on our business license report. And some will be obvious, others will not. But we should basically prepare that list and send it to the state of Utah Tax Commission and see if they can tell us whether or not those particular businesses are paying sales tax. Because I'm suspecting there are many who are not.
We've just been working with the mayor on that, just so you know.
Great. That's just exactly what I wanted to hear. That's perfect. So.
And we do have some, like Eric Bennett lives here. He has a P.O. box. All of his tax goes to Heber City. That's the address.
Yep.
So we don't get those. Wherever they're registered, that's where that goes. So that's another
And we can get that changed with the tax commission by saying, this particular corporation that is inside the town of Daniel, that tax base should come here. But I mentioned the people who were remodeling the Connexes and turning them into mini homes. I know they have sold several of those. And I know they've sold them for a very, very handsome amount of money. And I believe that there should have been a sales tax on the sale of those dwellings.
I have some confusion about what sorts of businesses do collect sales tax, so I think that's a good thing to explore.
And Berdurs, he's looking into that too.
That's.
And we got some conflicting information about the zip code. In one instance, they said they're using the four-digit after.
Sure.
And so it is really geo-located. And then another one on a different conversation said that, well, we're, if you're saying Heber, they're just looking, does it say Daniel? Does it say Heber City? Does it say Midway? You know, and then that's where the tax is going to. So it was kind of, and they were kind of apples and oranges, so.
Well, thank you for following up on that.
There's a lot of Amazon money that we're making.
Yeah, Amazon's our home run.
Coming from my house.
Yeah, chop a home, we love that. The only other change on your report is the Nephi Trunell concept approval. We have received before the first of the month the permit, so TO has that permit and it's in the process of going through engineering approval and it will be on the agenda this month for building permit on that.
On the commission?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that everything?
That'd be enough.
That's enough? Okay. Number eight, Daniel Municipal Water. Did we get a new chlorinator?
We did not.
Not yet.
No, we did not. We have the meters, the new replacement meters that we've had installed are now finally worked through Polaris and they are reading. So we are more than 50% on our reads on our meters. So that's a big plus. We still don't have the other ones. They sent us the 32. We still have not received the other replacements under the warranty. Mm. We did order new meters for the few residents that we have. They came right away, but the replacement registers, there's still backlog on.
Okay. What's the name of the company that's doing the meters?
Core in Maine.
What is it?
Core in Maine.
C-O-R-E.
Core in Maine. The irrigation company's got a bunch of meters to install and I was telling them about it.
Oh, and the installation?
Yeah.
That's not Corin.
That's that's Master Meter.
Master
Meter.
Actually, that's
what's his name?
They had another guy do it.
Ron.
What's his name?
Lish.
Ron Lish.
Lish. L-I-S-H. And it is meter maintenance. That's his name. Yeah. His business.
Meter maintenance. Yeah.
Meter maintenance. Yeah. Thank you.
In Springville.
Robin, if you want me to get you his phone number, I have it on an invoice.
Else?
Well, there was something else, but I can't remember.
Stormhaven Water? Anything going on there?
Mm-hmm. Nope, Stormhaven's doing good. We're pushing 70 gallons a minute. So we're maintaining the 40 PSI. We've set our VFD to hold that. It's running well up there. I think we've not had any complaints up there. We did receive complaints about the taste of chlorine on Daniel Road, which we went out and we did investigate that, and we was at 1.75, and again, we can be up to 4, so we're within the standard.
Okay, thank you so much. Recorder's office?
Are you sure? So, it's a pretty simple warrant. TO Engineering didn't have their invoices ready for me, so they'll be on next time. Where it says for Heber Light and Power, which is on Daniel and Stormhaven, the bill was $804 for Daniel Water, and I about had a heart attack, and so I was not going to put that the warrant until I found out why. And so I got a supervisor on the phone, and then he started looking at our bill, trying to Because he's like, well, it's this or this. I said, no, I have to explain this, and I don't understand anything you're saying. So you're going to have to walk me through this. And as he looked, apparently we've been paying tax. And so he can go back 3 years, and they're going to refund all the tax for Stormhaven and for Daniel. So he said, do not pay the $800. We probably owe you money. And I was like, yes.
Good job.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's why that says that. I think everything else is pretty straightforward. Oh, see, there is a master meter. So Robin, I probably have that in here. I can get you that phone number for you, though.
So under Daniel Municipal Water, the handheld support system, $562. Did we have a breakdown or?
Oh, I spelled system wrong.
Okay. Total mess. That's what I said. We finally got through with meter maintenance and Polaris and got those meters reading. They wouldn't accept the code that the meters were throwing.
Okay.
So they've been installed 3 months. We have not had any readings.
Okay.
So they've had to go clear back through that thing and reprogram.
The bill was $750, and as I have mentioned, we do 75% to Daniel and 25%
okay.
to Stormhaven. That's why it's kind of a weird amount.
On Stormhaven, Heber Light and Power does have $60, is that?
Oh, that should be on Chemtech 4.
Oh, okay.
So that just got put
on. So just drop that down?
Yeah, that was for testing.
Okay, I kind of thought that was.
Yeah.
So we'll have TO's invoices next month.
Mm-hmm. And I will fix the word system on both of those. Oh, there is a charge for Daniel Irrigation.
Yes.
That's an annual assessment.
For the share, do we have one?
No, I got an invoice if you want to look at it. I have all my invoices here.
Somebody should look at that and make sure we have all our share paid for. Well, where's those?
I would think that at the point in time we actually do the transfer to our well, that no longer would we be paying an assessment. As long as those certificates are held, you know, as water certificates, once we make that change application and that transfer has been made, Daniel Irrigation is out of the equation. So we shouldn't be paying any more annual fees.
Here's the invoice if anybody's looking at it.
Are we transferring all of our Daniel Irrigation?
We can keep the shares in the bank, but basically, at
right,
some point in time, the state engineer.
There wouldn't be any. Are we giving up all of those shares and putting them into the well?
We're not giving them up. We're just basically changing the point of use.
Correct.
And we're taking them outside of an irrigation share and putting them into underground.
So my question was that's what we're doing, but my question was, are we moving all of the Daniel irrigation shares that we currently hold?
Unless we had land to put that water on, then basically, the state engineer will come to us and say, within 7 years, if you haven't put this water to productive use, you're going to lose it. So we've got to show that it's going somewhere, it's doing something.
So the answer is no, we're not turning them all over. We do have land that is irrigated with shares of well to the town.
Okay.
If you do a commercial development, the town keeps those shares. So when the developer goes, we still have shares to irrigate those commercial developments.
Okay.
They turn that over to the town, and that remains an irrigated share.
So that won't go to zero. It just goes to something else.
Correct.
Okay.
How many, do you know, what percentage? It's
pretty small. We don't have that much commercial. But we should be passing on that assessment to those property people.
Right.
So I know the Peterson parcel turned some over to us.
Paperwork might not be worth it. I mean,
it might not be.
But it's a thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for all that explanation. I appreciate that. Okay. Um, anything else?
We need to approve the warrants.
Okay, we're going to approve the warrants. I was just asking, does anybody else have another question or anything? Okay, so I would entertain a motion about the warrants.
Make a motion to approve the warrants with the changes that we identified. I think the only change that I have was the Uberlite power charge under Storm Haven Water should have been under Chemtech Ford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll move that.
And I would say anything else. So with that change.
Second.
Perfect. So we have a motion and a second for approval. Any discussion? Okay, I'll call for the vote then. Robin, please.
Pearson, aye.
Dixon, yes.
Water, yes.
Duggan, yes. Thank you. Moving on. Did you have any announcements?
I didn't.
No. Okay, so we have the minutes. I haven't read the minutes. Have you read the minutes?
I did. I read the minutes.
When?
Today. When I'm sitting right here.
Oh. Okay. Well, it was kind of a long meeting.
Yeah, it was.
Do you?
I pared that down from.
I know.
12 pages to see.
It was a long meeting.
Wait a second.
So are you saying, Mary, you'd like time to have to read them?
Well, it depends on what the council wants to do. I have not read them, so I will probably abstain.
We can hold this to next month. We've done that before.
Someone like to make a motion to continue these minutes?
Yeah, I will make that one.
November meeting?
Continue the approval on our next meeting.
Okay, so who made the motion?
I did.
So here's that.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. So a motion and a second to continue the minutes to the November meeting. Any discussion? Entertain a vote. Robin?
Pearson, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Water, yes.
Duggan, yes. Very good. Okay. Is there any reason to have a closed session this evening, gentlemen?
No.
No.
No. Okay. So no closed session will be held, and I'm going to pay the motion. If there's no more business,
motion to adjourn.
Water has made a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
Third.
And we call for the vote.
You, Rob.
Yes.
Dixon, yes.
Water, yes.
Duggan, yes. And we adjourn 7:19. Okay.
That's a little right.
How was that, folks?
Short and
sweet.
Thank you for being here.
I haven't even seen you for a while.
I know. I had a death in my family. It's weird.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it was my uncle, but I am just caring for all of his things. So I will start coming again.
Good for you.
No,
good to
I'm
see
so
you guys.
Glad. I'll call you tomorrow. Okay?
Yeah, just
for
call
sure.
Me and we'll get that figured out.
Thanks for coming.
Bye.
Yeah,
thank you,
appreciate
Rick.
It. There's lots of issues. You guys brought
we
up
do.
A ton of things.
We do. I'm glad you're here to hear.
Yeah.
But we talked to yourself out.
And no, good. Come to those meetings, those city council meetings. I think county council meetings are a little less intense. Those
sometimes.
Dates aren't super finalized. I would think that tomorrow's city council meeting, they may finalize. I don't know if they would extend public comment period or not, but
yeah.
I don't or adjust that meeting. Yeah, if they're gonna have public hearing to comment on the 17th or the 18th, I don't know. But I get to listen in the city stuff, but the county stuff. Hopefully, I'll get to get stuff. So, anyways, have a great night, guys.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thank you for being here too, Blake. It's nice to meet you. Now, can you spell your last name for us?
It's S-O-N-D-E-R-E.
Sondernagar?
Sondernagar.
Okay. Is it Swedish or?
It's Swiss.
Swiss. Well, it's close. S-W, that's close.
Down that road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, I've got the map right here. This is a bigger map.
Oh, and Amelia got us a really good map if anybody wants to look at it.
So they want to shift.
They won't have that, but they're looking at it.
We're ready to head to South.